It's Big News Wednesday. JR, it was a little bit messed up of the universe to not have Trump's arraignment actually happen on Big News Wednesday. I don't know if the courtroom was booked that day or something, but we do have the fallout from it and from his speech, so that's not bad.
Well, John, yesterday I sat down, I put my head in my hands and I said, we got our wires crossed. My Big News Wednesday people, they messed around and actually dropped all the news on a Tuesday. This throws everything off. Like, it's like Mercury's in retrograde. You know, you can't find your car keys. Something is off, but we're gonna try and salvage the day.
Yeah, it's unfair. They leaked all the good news one day early, leaving us nothing. But no, we have quite a bit of news actually. Not only stuff coming from the arraignment, we're gonna dive into that. There's some fun stuff. I have one particular like a pundit point that was made that I cannot believe this person and the effect they have on the media. So we're gonna talk about that. But there were also election results yesterday, hugely consequential election results. So we're gonna get into that. We have lawmakers switching sides, defecting from the Democrats, which is fun. Why bikes are the right's new favorite villain. Charlie Kirk once again making the argument that democracy is the worst and we should probably get rid of it. And that's just in the regular show. When we get on to the full show in the aftermath, we've got trubs for Harry Potter, so that'll be fun, and participation trophies. Everyone in the audience will get one today. Please look under your seat. No, but we are gonna be talking about them in a little bit. I wanted to make sure that I had someone on the show who has a kid, who's played sports and everything, because we're gonna jump into that.
I love it.
But in anticipation of all that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great. And if you'd like a chance at my doc hasn't been updated. If you'd like a chance at a $100 Blue Apron gift card, the best way to do that, send in an awesome, insightful or funny comment and we'll jump to you. So anyway, thank you all for being here. With that said, JR, are you ready to do this thing?
I got my coffee and my red vines.
Okay, I've got my coffee and I really wish that I had some red vines. Actually, I'm gonna go get some for JR. I wish I could. Instead, we'll just talk about the news, starting with this.
I have a Trump-hating judge with a Trump-hating wife and family whose daughter worked for Kamala Harris and now receives money from the Biden-Harris campaign and a lot of it.
It has begun. The demonizing of not only the DA, Alvin Bragg, but now the judge and the judge's spouse and the judge's kids. We are like a couple of hours from him being arraigned and he's already launching his war against them. A war, by the way, that he has been warned not to engage in. Like earlier that day when Juan Marchan, the judge, said, warned the president not to make comments that quote, jeopardize the safety or well-being of any individual, specifically saying, please refrain from making comments or engaging in conduct that has the potential to incite violence, create civil unrest, or jeopardize the safety or well-being of any individuals. Perhaps the judge should have been more specific and said, like my wife and my daughter, you insane person, because there is only one reason that you would be focusing on them. They're not gonna be deciding this thing. They have nothing to do with it. He wants them to be hounded. He is using mobster tactics to put pressure on the judge to let him go. And the reason that this is consequential, why I think this is one of the things we need to focus on coming out of the arraignment, is not just that it's terrible, that we should never have a politician doing that, but that it's also consequential. Legal experts say that he is likely to, based on prior experience, be ordered not to speak about his case, have a gag order, and breaking such an order could potentially land him in contempt of court, which means jail time. Specifically in New York, it means up to a year in prison if he receives a gag order and he violates it, which you know he wants to, he could be locked up as a result of that. And perhaps trying to get ahead of the ability of them to lock him up, He apparently has switched on the whole defund the police thing. He started off his morning on Truth Social bleating, Republicans in Congress should defund the DOJ and the FBI until they come to their senses.
wouldn't exactly help in this case because, you know, I hate to be the person who has to like educate Trump, but they're not the ones that are going to get you on the hush money payments, dude. It's Southern District of New York. It's like the judges are. Anyway, the threats are out there. We've even got more threats. But Jared, what do you think?
Well, I'd love that you point out what is truth, because people like these smart folks, folks who know the system, just on this small point here, they know that that doesn't make any sense. They'll talk about how he typed in all caps and talk about the DOJ and the Justice Department. We got to defund the police, which is funny because you know how the Republicans are all about, you know, whoever wants to defund the police are evil. So he's already on that line. But then again, how it just doesn't match up. People got to point this out. The things that he says that don't make sense based off of how things work, because that's what gets people on these rabid attacks and going after Alvin Bragg. Going after Joe Biden, saying that somehow he set up George Soros to pay him to then pay Alvin Bragg to do this. Like, they don't connect, just like they did with Merrick Garland. These things just don't connect. So just to point out the stupidity of how they've gone about the demonization, it'll show you that they really are just grasping for anything that they can to rile people up to then get angry, which leads to them, of course, this whole thing with the judge himself. He knows his audience is easily riled up, easily prone to violence, which again is why they were concerned about potential protests before he even went in for that arraignment or even the indictment announcement that was supposed to happen the Tuesday before the last Tuesday because Trump announced it. All that stuff, he knows his people are violent. So if you say things like, oh, look, they're coming for me, enemy, coming for me, you know they want to target me, come and get me. All those things sound very much like, oh, they're breaking into the house. It's time to start defending ourselves, because we know that's the excuse they give every time they want to start aggressively going after folks with their guns. So yeah, but other folks have said he's just trying to get him to recuse himself and get off the case. If he thinks so, maybe that's his primary reason, but the secondary one is always the violence.
Yep, and by the way, if he got that and they put in a new judge, they would do the same thing. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I know if you're a conservative watching this, you cannot accept that. He's just going to make up something. There's always going to be something that makes it. It doesn't matter. They choose, in some of these cases, the people who've investigated him have been lifelong Republicans. That is never enough. That never matters at all from Trump's point of view. He finds a way to make that the bad thing. So anyway, like, we'll see. The threats so far from Trump haven't been as bad about the judge as some of the prior threats towards Alvin Bragg were. So maybe his lawyers are still having some sort of effect. But we're very early on in this process. It's like December when the next court date comes, and the actual trial is supposed to start, I think, in January. That is, I think, when this thing might really heat up. But anyway, it isn't also along the way just him. Don Jr. decided to follow in his father's disgusting footsteps by also trying to generate some hatred and fear of the judge investigating his father and the hush money payments. Putting out this post, he retweeted an article from Breitbart that focuses on the daughter of the judge that's on the case. In specific, not only putting her name, but putting her picture. And you need to do that because trying to come up with a cover story, I guess just because you want someone to hunt her down. I guess that's really the only explanation for why you would do that. Why Breitbart, a news outlet, would do an article about that. What does she have to do with anything? Like, no, seriously, that's a serious question. Any conservatives in the chat, what does she have to do with anything? She has nothing to do with anything. Again, this is just Donald Trump Jr. now reassuring his father that, you know, if there is a gag order, well, maybe it's not Trump that does the generating of the fear and the hostility, JR.
Yeah, well, they have backups. Of course, that's the next step. That's the mob mentality and the tactics and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I was trying to look into the validity of how much his daughter and he said wife and whoever else is in the associations that they say they all have, but then how that then does connect to this and also this particular judge. Because I remember there was this guy who was in office, I think his name was Trump, and his entire family was connected to folks that had all kinds of conflicts of interest, business-wise, internationally, the way that they profited off of their positions, the way that they helped other friends and family members also profit off of their positions, all, I was going to say, under the cover of darkness, but all in broad daylight. And as people brought it up, what they said was, oh, literally, there was absolutely no explanation behind it. It was just, what are you talking about? This is the Trumps. What they do is right, just because we're supposed to believe them. So we're supposed to now listen to folks who say there's some kind of conflict because the judge's daughter had some kind of other positions that they disagree with, maybe along partisan lines that they actually don't like. So because of that, then he'll be influenced. Sure, people can want to believe that. So I guess in all aspects, you have to try and play it down the same role or at least down those same rules no matter what. But they don't do that. There's reasons why they don't do that, because as we've already heard, this two-tier justice system that they're so mad about, they're upset about it because it's become a little more even here in this case. Mm-hmm. And the two-tier that they want is for them to be immune from any crimes and any kinds of speculation for their conflicts of interest.
Yeah, 100%. We're going to move on to another aspect of this with this Don Jr. stat in just a sec. So I see some people in the chat saying that they think that we should have blurred her photo. My thought process was the right wing has spread it literally everywhere, so it seems kind of inconsequential at this point. But I appreciate that. So for the clip, let's do that. You can cut this section out of the clip, obviously, too. But yeah, let's blur the photo. Thank you to the people in the audience suggesting that. But first, let's talk a little bit more about these gag orders. Are gag orders acceptable? I mean, lots of people had no problem with them for, I don't know, decades and decades and decades and decades. They're a very common thing. But now that one might be coming Donald Trump's way, the right is starting to push back. Here is his son.
We're gonna just charge you with a bunch of nonsense. And then we're not gonna even let you talk about it to defend yourself in the court of public opinion. Seems sort of contrary to anything America stands for, but so does everything else going on and highlighted by what they've tried to do to my father for the last 6 years. I mean, like, this feels like a violation not just of your First Amendment, but of your Fifth Amendment and probably a bunch of other amendments.
How could they do this to a great American hero? That cannot seriously be his voice. I understand that cocaine has an effect on the nose, you know, and like the like, I don't think he's, that's a part, but that's the wrong part, buddy. You got to come up with a new character. But anyway, so Don Jr. thinks that it would be unacceptable, unconstitutional, un-American to put a gag order on Donald Trump if he is actively trying to instigate violence against the people investigating him. He's not the only one. Roger Stone said that it was unconstitutional and that it would be election interference to do a gag order against Trump. Bear in mind, Roger Stone, a little bit biased. He had a gag order placed on him after he put out a photo of the judge overseeing his case that had her in the crosshairs of a gun. So again, maybe a little bit biased there. A spokesperson for Trump's campaign slammed the potential of a gag order as a tyrannical third world country order move. But again, it's relatively common. This happens all the time, JR. But all of a sudden, again, now like with solitary confinement, when it comes to January 6th people, they found one case in which they have a problem with it.
It's yet another thing, bro. Listen, everything that they're doing or everything that they're being charged with or accused of is supposed to be immunity for them. No, suddenly gag orders are something we've never heard of. There's never been a trial where gag orders are put in place. Of course they are. But what they're trying to say is it's un-American for you guys to do this to this guy. This is the reason why conservatives or anyone in general in the country gets mad when people say so many rules and things are put in place based off of this idea of white supremacy. So in any other case, would you think that we're supposed to keep some guy who's been accused of this many crimes and done this many investigations and has triggered violence to not be under a gag order because he triggers violence? It's right there in everyone's faces. But because it's him, it's like, can you believe a former president, this guy, Donald J. Trump, walks into a courtroom? They said this on CNN as he walked in. They did the whole dramatic thing yesterday. He walks into a courtroom. This is amazing. This white guy walked into a courtroom and look, he got fingerprinted like a common criminal. That's what happens when you're charged with a crime. You get fingerprinted like a criminal because that's what they're charging you over. So the whole thing about how it's unfair to do this to them, that means the normal unfairness, they're upset it's becoming fair. People who have been oppressive and people who have been in positions of privilege their whole lives, they feel like equality is actually them being attacked. It's amazing how it works because that's what they're used to. Regular life for them is unequal justice in our country. So when it's even, suddenly they're under attack. And also Don Jr. pushed this whole thing about how we can't do this and oh my God, my dad and all this stuff. Why is it that you need to have to flesh this out in the court of public opinion rather than in the actual court? Why is that a thing for them? It shows This is all about partisan politics, even though they want to say it's Alvin Bragg, it's George Soros, it's Joe Biden. If that's the case, the only thing that's making this political is that you guys won't stop talking about how this is political. He's going to be running for president. He's going to be this is giving him the ticket. He's going to be president because of all this. That sounds like it's political and has nothing to do with trying to defend yourself against these charges.
Yeah. But it's also a great opportunity for people like Don Jr. to show that, you know, they got their father's back. Just again, argue against everything. It doesn't matter if it's directly contradictory to the way things work, what you've previously stated, just defend him and that's enough. And not just him, others are doing it too. And others will continue to instigate violence if the gag order is put out. As we were reminded by Jack Posobiec, who put out this Truth Social post, they can't gag all of us, which is true. But you gotta think there's a better way to phrase that. Anyway, there was other stuff going on when it came to the arraignment.
Trump can gag all of them though. Sorry.
We're moving on. Anyway, why don't we jump to one more little bit of a video from Trump's speech at Mar-a-Lago yesterday.
I have a son here who's done a great job, and I have another son here who's done a great job. And Ivanka and Barron will be great someday. He's tall. He's smart.
That was Donald Trump speaking at Mar-a-Lago, going through a run through of all of his family members in the audience. And did you notice what was missing there? He's like, I got a son doing a great job, another son doing a great job. Don't remember their names. I'm sure they have them. Tiffany's over there. Barron, he's my son. I know who he is. He's tall, right? Yeah, that one. So he ran through all those kids and Ivanka. Did you notice who he didn't mention, who he didn't point to? Wasn't standing by his side? Where's Melania, Don? Where's Melania? He just came back from a historic arraignment. First of all, he'd been away. One would think you'd want to be around your spouse after a trip like that. But this entire event was to project strength and unity. We are going to beat this thing, except there's no we. She lives there, by the way. She's just, what was she, 100 feet away in a different room? 100 yards away. In a different room. She was there, but not there. And that I find to be fascinating. According to reporters, there was no sign of her. A notable absence, the Independent says. Yes, I would agree with that. I do think that it is notable that she is not there to support her poor beleaguered husband as he faces an investigation for the hush money payments he paid to cover up an affair. What do you think?
This checks out with everything else. Remember, as there, you know, once he was in office and then the slapping of the hand away and then every opportunity at least to try and avoid him. I think even for the first month or two, if my memory is correct, she was off in New York while he moved into the White House. And then finally, they're like, this looks kind of bad. You got to move in, Melania, especially when it comes to all this. And I think this is, I mean, I'm trying to get the affairs of Donald Trump, the alleged affairs of Donald Trump straight in my head. But wasn't this the one that was going on while she was pregnant? With that tall child?
It was allegedly 4 months after she gave birth. Oh,
4 months after.
To the tall child. So he's now tall. He wasn't tall then, but now he's tall.
He was born quite tall. That was the notable part about this. Well, yeah, no. It's pretty obvious. And this is the one aspect of it that I think many folks are hitting the same. I mean, when Clinton went through his scandals and all that stuff, Hillary was always brought up with it. But to this point, where's Melania? And why aren't we talking about her?
Yeah, and again, like many of you might think, well, what's the matter? Why does it matter at all? And look, I would largely agree. I don't think it matters. I don't think anything having to do with affairs necessarily matters. If you having that affair or covering up that affair or the way you've talked about that affair doesn't run directly contrary to everything that you purport to believe. And more importantly, since most politicians are con men and Donald Trump obviously is one, continuing to support this man when everything that he has done runs directly contrary to everything that you purport to believe. Which would be fine even then if they were just like optional values, standards you hold yourself to. But when you have routinely used your supposed values as a cudgel to bash over the head of your political opponents, and then you prove that you don't care about any of this, then I think that that is notable and I'm gonna bring it up. That said, also super fast point. We also found out in that arraignment that if you just bring this up, you can pause it if you want to read the actual text. But he was planning to not even pay Stormy Daniels. He wanted to delay until after the election and then not pay her. God damn. What a cheapskate. But anyway, there were a couple of other interesting things going on. So I just want to give some brief reactions to these. I just found them to be fascinating. So whenever we're ready, why don't we jump into Comer here?
And I'll tell you one of the things that I don't think's been picked up a lot that's going to be a problem. And I had two calls yesterday, one from a county attorney in Kentucky and one from a county attorney in Tennessee. They were Republican, obviously. Both states are heavily Republican. They want to know if there are ways they can go after the Bidens now. And they've opened up a can of worms. They've set precedents now that we can't go back on.
Oh, damn. I wish that we hadn't cut the video right there, because I imagine that the host must have responded with, well, that's unacceptable. You can't possibly. What do you mean they're looking for ways to get Biden? What do you mean? No, we would never do that. So that is Comer, one of the heads of the Republicans in Congress, James Comer, saying that he's got people in, what was it, Kentucky and Tennessee, I think, that he said, doesn't really matter. Let's say it's those two, looking for ways to, first of all, how are you going to get him in Kentucky and Tennessee? What do those, you know that Trump actually lived and worked in New York. You get that there's a reason that there's charges there. Oh, no, I know. We're supposed to pretend that it's all made up, that they're doing what you're doing and it's all fiction. Yes, I would love to see what they're going to come up with in Kentucky, but he's just announcing it as a perfectly fine thing. Yes, we should have national coordination between local prosecutors in states Biden's never been to, contacting House Republican leadership to invent a way to get Joe Biden. Every one of the things that they implied was happening with supposed coordination between Alvin Bragg and Biden that we've never seen any indication of, making up charges when these are allegations that have been out there for literally years. It's all just projection for them.
Real fast. This guy. This is one of those things. It's like when the Republicans barely won the House and they said, we're gonna have this revenge tour of all these hearings. Jim Jordan started one of his revenge tour of hearings to talk about what Twitter files and Hunter Biden as much as he could. Those two hearings flopped. They were, you know, they tried to pump them up and all that, but this is one of those cases where have at it. Here's the rope. Go ahead, start. Show us what do you got? Because once they show us what they've got, they're going to continue to peel away. Some of these supporters are going, wait, it's an exhibition of just how incompetent they are and how they have zero ideas, zero agenda to help the American people. It's all revenge tour because they really think Donald Trump is the Lord and Savior. So as long as we go behind him and go on a revenge tour, they're going to vote for us.
Yeah.
As we're going to talk about later, they're losing.
Yeah. And like the fact that they're just saying it, they can just say it because that's what their base wants. Because their base doesn't care.
That base is shrinking, I think. That base is shrinking.
Sure, but they don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about any of this stuff. They do just want to get Biden. That's what they want. They don't accept that he's president. They hate that the positions that they hold make them toxic on the national stage. And they just want to win through other means. By the way, turning against democracy is sort of the theme of today's episode. We're talking about in our next block, we're going to be talking about it. And then to close out the first hour, we're going to be talking about it. This is just a constant. This is now one of the foundational characteristics of the political conflict we're in, that they just care about power. That's literally it. And they feel no reason to even pretend otherwise at this point. Okay, I just want to have a little bit of fun for, let's say, 3 minutes. Okay, we won't talk for more than 3 minutes about this, but I want to give it 3 minutes because here is Van Jones.
There's really nothing to celebrate here, even those of us who are opponents of his politics and his policies. This is a sobering moment, I think, for him. And there's a lot of pain that comes as you go through this process. There's pain for pain in this marriage. There's pain for your kids. He's a grandfather. So there's a lot of human stuff that the cameras can't capture. So I don't take any celebration in seeing him looking that way. He looks at now, doesn't mean that accountability is not owed. We don't know what he's going to be charged with. There's a lot more bunk. But at that moment, that is not a conqueror. That is a granddad having a very bad day.
Van Jones. I understand that it's on brand for Van Jones. He's supposed to be the person with, I don't even want to say like radical empathy, because it's kind of like pointlessly upside down empathy or whatever. But it's somewhat consistent for him. And he has said many reasonable things in the past. He has held reasonable positions, but most recently He likes to shake things up. And he did right there. The idea that Donald Trump's grandpa-ness has anything to do with any of this. I don't just mean like the case or whatever, but like how Trump is feeling. You think he's thinking about Barron or whatever, or any of the kids, any of the grandkids? You think he's thinking about Melania? You think he's thinking about any of that? He doesn't give a damn about any of that. He is thinking about himself. He is always thinking about himself. And in particular, when he's being arraigned, he is thinking about himself. And on an eve in which we finally take one of the early but still belated steps towards consequences for all of the many crimes he has enthusiastically committed, that you would spare any, I'm even pretending that it's honest, maybe it is, your empathy to think of the kids, think of the grandkids, poor Pop Pop on the stand right there. Yeah, why didn't Pop Pop think about that when he was popping in his affair 4 months after Barron was born? How about some empathy for them?
Exactly my point. So granddad's having a bad day, or maybe grandkids are hearing about his affair with a porn star, and then his attempt to pay her off to keep her quiet, and then fraudulently showing those funds coming from other sources as he paid his attorney back for paying her off, and then trying to hide that as well. That's what we're finding. Is that what we're finding about grandpa? Sometimes we find out horrible things about grandpa. Many times it's after they passed away, and we're like, oh man, I know grandpa did that. Except they're finding out why grandpa is still here. So Van Jones's attempt to try and always center these things when it seems like the leftists are getting too far ahead as far as whatever scorecard he's keeping. Nothing has happened yet to this guy, by the way, but he has to try and balance it out and think, I gotta come up with something to make sure that those folks who are feeling so bad today are feeling better without me looking like a Fox News personality, because he's trying to toe the line without going that far with the craze.
Yeah. He's trying to, again, he's branding it as let's have some empathy or whatever, mm-hmm. which is not what you'd get from Fox News. But it's just like, and fine, you can think those thoughts, that's what you would. He would go back to multiple times in that talk, have some empathy for the victims of Donald Trump. And I don't just mean in this case, how about the dozens of other women who have made allegations against him when it comes to sexual harassment and sexual assault? Think about the millions of victims of the legislation that he signed, the executive orders that he passed. Oh, I don't know, maybe the Supreme Court justices that he put on the stand. I appreciate that you have empathy and you want to center empathy in your politics. I too want to do that, but there are perhaps better targets for your empathy than Pop Pop. Okay, with that said, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, there were some major elections, and the one in Wisconsin has some really important ramifications for years to come. We're going to be giving you the results after this. Wisconsin had some major elections yesterday, and the ramifications of those, I think, spread years into the future. First of all, most importantly, Janet Protasiewicz, a liberal affiliated, not technically a Democrat, won the position to replace a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. That means that coming out of this, and by the way, you can bring up the results of the election, because the results, it's not just important that the liberal won. I want to take a look at the margin there. It was an 11-point victory. I'm not khaki pants on MSNBC or whatever, but and I'm not like an expert on every area. An 11-point victory in a statewide race in Wisconsin is titanic. It is a very split state. You wouldn't know it to look at the state legislature, and we'll get to that. But normally these sorts of races can be 1 or 2 point affairs. 11 points means they really wanted the liberal over the conservative, and it's not difficult to figure out why. There's a few issues we're going to talk about, but first of all, as they acknowledge here, and you can see the new justice in this picture, her position on abortion. Her position on abortion in a now 4-3 liberal court means that the like 1849, I think it is, anti-abortion law will probably be overruled at some point if the more conservative candidate, Kelly, had taken that seat, then that would not have happened, and you would have abortion being outlawed in Wisconsin. So for many people, this is incredibly significant, and it's going to potentially last. The term is for 10 years. Now means the liberals are up 4-3. There is another liberal justice's term expiring in 2025, and then a conservative in 2026. So expect even more of these major elections, and they're going to be big. This one had over $40 million in spending. It is the most expensive judicial election in American history. And you may wonder why. Why this one Supreme Court spot in Wisconsin? Well, not only because of, you know, the future of like abortion access and those sorts of things, but also the future of the state legislative and congressional map, which is about as gerrymandered as anyone has been able to make it. ChatGPT could not produce a more biased map than what they have had for about a decade, a little bit over a decade in Wisconsin. And that could be coming to an end soon with this new majority. We're gonna dive into that in a second, but Jer, what do you think?
Yeah, this is one of those things that has all these conservatives very upset, and maybe it was flying under the radar when we saw Trump getting, you know, arraigned and everything yesterday. But yo, this is a big deal. And actually, this is one of those indications of the voting blocks that are changing. We saw what's going on in Tennessee with the three House members that are being booted out potentially tomorrow. But then also how so many young folks are up in the rafters. They don't care anymore about this whole thing about decorum. And oh my God, let's wait and see. Thoughts and prayers, but give them one more chance. Oh, they're working on it. You don't understand the legislative process. These young folks are sick of your stuff, you guys.
Yep.
So they understand what's going on. Folks read up on things. Young folks aren't stupid. So if you keep talking to even the 16-year-olds who aren't able to vote yet, yo, guess what's coming up in 2 years, you know? We've got 2024 coming up, and then after that, another midterms. All this continues to go downhill for them. And as they keep seeing this happen, you know, it was shown throughout the voting block when it comes to this particular race, tons of young folks that are unwilling to get out of lines to vote because a Potasiewicz there was talking specifically about the things that are her values and things that she's ruling about that is in favor of folks that actually would like freedoms.
Yeah,
not just based off of who's going to appoint her and whoever's going to get in office and all these things, and actually trying to give up to somebody some special interest. And people responded to that. Republicans feel like this isn't going to be a something that continues, but I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, it was very exciting to see. The overall turnout is amazing. Again, it cannot be stressed enough how big of a victory this is. I don't know if I vocalized it, but I mentioned yesterday on the show that generally from the initial to the runoff election, the sort of system that they have there, the liberal usually does better. I had no expectation that it would be 11 points though. And thank you to all the young voters, the student voters who waited in long lines to vote to produce this outcome. It is significant, not only for issues like abortion, although that is significant, but again, let's double down on how rigged the map is there. If you don't live there, there's no reason why you'd necessarily know this. If you're outside of the country, you might say, what do you mean a rigged map? I know, it's crazy how our country works. Wisconsin is an incredibly split state in terms of Republicans and Democrats. But when you look at the state legislature, bear in mind, they come out of this election with a super majority, okay? Because they have gerrymandered it so effectively for the state legislature elections as well as the congressional map. How rigged is it? In 2022, Wisconsinites elected a Democratic governor, a Democratic attorney general, a Democratic secretary of state. Yet Republicans came out of it with a 64-35 advantage in the state assembly and a 22-11 majority in the state senate. Double the seats of the other side. The GOP also secured a 6-2 advantage in the state's congressional delegation. Democrats have won 13 out of the last 16 statewide elections. It is incredibly clear that despite how ideologically split the state must be, or is, it's demonstrated to be when you poll like party registration and things like that. When you actually give them a choice between a Democrat and Republican, they err on the side of the Democrat. And despite that, they cannot get a Democratic state legislature because of those maps. It doesn't matter how popular the Democrats' positions are, nor how toxic the Republicans' positions are. This is what happens to us, quote unquote, democracy, when you allow the party to decide its own map. And Dan Kelly was 100% going to allow that map to stand. Potasiewicz says, or hinted very strongly, that she would be against it. And you have that. You have the fact that Wisconsin, in the wake of the 2020 election, was the only state Supreme Court that considered a challenge to the presidential election results. Now, thankfully, they did not allow it to be overturned, but that was definitely the plan for 2024. Potasiewicz is, I'm assuming, based on what she said during the election, not gonna be on board for any of that. So all of this is incredibly significant. This one Supreme Court seat is huge, not just for the people of Wisconsin, but potentially for the entire country when it comes to our next presidential election. Which is why They are already talking in Wisconsin, the Republicans, about impeaching her. She doesn't even hold the position yet. And they are not even pretending that there's a reason. They're going to try to do it if they do it because they lost the election and they don't like losing elections. They don't like that. They've been able to lock down one party rule in the state assembly, in the state senate. But when you actually talk to the voters, they can't win. So they're just going to overrule it. It's very similar to how things work in Congress. They use the power they've been able to structurally lock in to exert power over the ones that actually rely on you having to appeal to the voters, and they can't do that. And so Dan Nodal, he's one of the Republicans. He was in a special election. His win yesterday, because he did get the win, gives them this super majority. By the way, he won with just over 50% of the vote, less than one percentage point ahead of the Democrat. For context, in that same district, Ron Johnson in 2016 won with 63% of the vote. So even in a Republican district, he barely squeaked by a win, but it might be enough to allow them to impeach a justice purely based on the fact that they don't want her to hold the position. If that happens, by the way, that has got to be national news. The Democrats have got to flood into the state. People need to shut down the state if they try to do that.
In this set, we're hearing national conservatives and Republicans talk about impeachment of Donald Trump for actual reasons. And they said, oh, this is a witch hunt and you're going to go after this guy. And they're totally making up these charges. When you see the actual times when they actually make up charges, then we see things like this. The gerrymandering thing is similar to many other things that we celebrate in the country, you know, our democracy. But there's all these hidden things in it that make it, that completely goes against our democracy, but we celebrate as if it's this clean cut thing. That's what goes on here, similar to capitalism. Oh, capitalism is the best system in the world, and that's why we use it here. Yo, we don't have capitalism. We have a biased system that looks like capitalism to people who aren't paying close attention, and it doles out all kinds of advantages and monies to the people that pay the politicians that are in power to continue to keep that system going the way it is. And as everyone's fighting over the scraps, nobody's gonna have the energy or the power to go after the folks who are actually hoarding all of the power and the money. Let's keep it real.
Yeah, Wisconsin is a preview of what the entire country will look like if we allow the Republicans to make it that way. That's what they want. And look, largely from the beginning of America, it's been biased in those sorts of ways, the makeup of the Senate, the Electoral College, all of that. But they do not want to engage in Democratic elections. They do not want to have to convince people that their positions are right or that they're better at governance or any of that sort of stuff. They want to automatically win. In Wisconsin, they've been able to do that for a decade. We potentially see a way out of that, and they're gonna do everything they can to make sure that that doesn't happen. Okay, very briefly, let's jump ahead to the other part of this same block. Another major race taking place yesterday in Chicago. The mayor's race has now been decided. Brandon Johnson actually won, the more progressive of the two candidates, a county commissioner, teachers union organizer, had campaigned on obviously a lot of different stuff, but it includes a vast expansion of social programs in Chicago, as well as new taxes. It was a relatively close race, just a couple of points, but amazingly, in one early poll, Brandon Johnson was at 3% support and was down in prior phase of this, but was able to generate some name recognition, differentiate himself from the other candidate. That's very significant. In particular, Paul Vallis, the one who lost, had campaigned on a more conservative view on crime and education, had been talking, national media tried to pitch this as like defund the police versus funding them more. Brandon Johnson nuanced his position on that during the race. But it definitely is the case that a tougher on crime, you know, for all the propaganda that that's worth, that is more of Paul Vallis's position there. Brandon Johnson wants to, you know, find solutions beyond just raw policing. And Fox News tried to make it a thing where the more conservative candidate would win based on this issue. Oliver Willis did a mashup of some of their articles recently, all of them attempting to make everyone in Chicago think about this election only through the lens of crime, and it didn't work. And Brandon Johnson ended up won as mayor-elect. What do you think, Jer?
Love it. This is one of those things, right? There's a reason why. I want to stick on the point of how specifically with Brandon Johnson and the 3% start and how he ended up getting to this point. People are getting different ways of getting information and also rallying around and building up support. You don't need tons of money. You don't need to have the biggest name anymore. It's not fully there, of course. Those are still the biggest aspects by far. But in some of these things, when people get surprised, it's because information spread. This guy had his actual policies go across and it got carried because they're that popular from folks. And actually, so many politicians don't go this route that it sticks out. It becomes a little bit of a light amongst all of this madness. So when you see something like that, it's so refreshing that he's unapologetically standing behind these policies that the majority of folks are in agreement with. And when the majority of folks are in agreement with something, then you'll win. It's straightforward. Yeah. That's why the gerrymandering has to be put in place. That's why the lies are put in place. That's why these big power structures that actually mute and keep folks from finding information are in place. It's why Elon wanted to corrupt and destroy Twitter, because people get information from there that actually makes their lives better or gives them a better approach to what they're dealing with. TikTok's coming down next, you know? And of course, the primary thing is with China, but honestly, information get spread, as goofy as that site is many times. It's the way it is, and they don't like that. And it generates different kinds of voters with different kinds of perspectives, and don't care if you're some legacy politician, they go for the guy that's gonna represent them.
We'll see. Chicago is obviously facing real problems coming out of the pandemic in many different areas. You had, in anticipation of the election, some like thousands of police officers saying that they were going to quit if he wins. Well, okay. Well, we're gonna see if they do that now. But anyway,
they're always hiring down at the grocery store. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. With that, we're gonna take a break. We come back, lots more to talk about to close out the hour, so don't go anywhere. Oh, geez, I just realized I probably should have given a call for what stories we're actually gonna do. So I guess we will move forward on C, and then I think we're gonna try to do E fast. We'll see. We'll do the bikes because I teased it, so I have to. What with that said, why don't we do C for now? Let's jump into this. A representative in North Carolina, Trisha Cotham, has switched parties from the Democrats to the Republicans just 3 months after being sworn in. And if that sounds bad, I want to be clear. The way she did it actually makes it worse. So this would, by the way, give Republicans a veto-proof majority over Democratic Governor Roy Cooper. So if you are going to switch parties just 3 months after people donated to you and rallied for you and knocked on doors for you, but then to do it specifically to give over unlimited power to the Republicans over the Democratic governor, the governor of your previous party, that is terrible. But we're gonna get to some of the ways that make it even worse than that. We do have a response from the head of the Democratic caucus, Robert Reeves, who says that is not the person that was presented to the voters of House District 112. That is not the person those constituents campaigned for in a hard primary. Again, came out of a primary to then betray them, and who they championed in a general election in a 60% Democratic district. Those constituents deserve to know what values were most important to their elected representative. And we're left speculating about which values are most important to her. Raw power, being paid back maybe with a lobbying position afterward. I don't know, the whole thing's corrupt. We're just waiting to find out which particular flavor of corruption it is. The governor called it disappointing. You can understand why. It says her votes on women's reproductive freedom, election laws, LGBTQ rights. I apologize, I drank a lot of caffeine before the show. LGBTQ rights and strong public schools will determine the direction of the state we love. It's hard to believe she would abandon these long-held principles, and she should still vote the way she has always said she would vote when those issues arise, regardless of party affiliation. Well, I guess we'll see. I don't know, people in North Carolina, fingers crossed, then she won't totally screw you over. What do you think?
Yeah, isn't this weird? It's one of those things where now she's switched parties, and maybe you can, you know, you have to make assumptions, right? Oh, whatever payment happened, whatever promises were made, whatever reasons behind that, shouldn't, and this doesn't be a requirement, but I would think, shouldn't you tell folks the reasons why you're switching parties, especially 3 months into it? If you're disgusted with the things that Democrats are doing, that's cool. Say those things that you're disgusted by what they're doing. I mean, look, Joe Manchin openly talks about how much he hates anything that he says he's about, and also Kyrsten Sinema after she then switched and gone independent. It's pretty obvious, but they're gonna have to deal with actual Democratic voters who are like, yo, you said this, and you said the third thing. This is what I agree or disagree with you on. whenever she may come forward with her principles, even if it's just to appeal to more Republicans, you would think she'd go, oh, I totally forgot. What I meant to say was I actually don't care about women's rights and things like that. You're supposed to be, I would think, looking to appeal to your new voter base, which is a bunch of Republicans, right? And your new folks that you're gonna work with, Republicans, you switch parties, if nothing else.
Yeah.
If not even for the detractors, for your new base, you should tell them how much you're Republican. How come that hasn't come across yet?
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the chat are like, how is this legal? Like, no, it is, you can do it. And she's not the first person or whatever. I mean, she's effectively doing cosplay of Kyrsten Sinema right now. But plenty of people, other representatives and all that have switched parties, it happens. So no, I don't think it should be illegal or whatever, but I feel like there should be something you can do. I feel like an ability to call, you know, another election or something. Like you lied. And again, you know, it's easy for us to focus on crazier lies that are non-political, lies like a George Santos might tell, like the lie that you were a star volleyball player. But which lie is more damaging? That you were a star volleyball player and you'd never steal the cancer medication money for a dog? Or no, I'm part of this party. You should put your time and energy and money into me and I won't screw you over. Like, which of those is actually more damaging? This is 1,000 times worse than George Santos. I mean, George Santos is bad, don't get me wrong. I hate the guy. But this, I don't know. I don't know what the Democrats can do. Probably nothing right now. But I imagine that we are racing towards a primary and then a general election that will hopefully, in a 60% Democrat district, get her taken out. The question will be, how much damage can she do for the Republicans in the meantime? Anyway. Okay, we are rapidly running out of time. So we're gonna just jump right into a couple of videos, give you our response to this.
More divided in some ways than we even were leading into the American Civil War. At least there was a Christian country back then. Now we have different metaphysics and we have all sorts of different types of views. But we have some things working in our favor, which is the great hope is that we can de-escalate the national politics and go back into hyper-local community and just say, I don't like the person in Portland. I don't like the person in Wichita, but I'm not gonna try to imperialize their life.
I love that. The idea that what Republicans don't wanna do is imperialize other people. They just wanna let, you know, bygones be bygones, let people live. Unless you're reading a book they don't like, they'll definitely get rid of that. If you're gay, I mean, forget about it, they're done. 120 bills restricting LGBTQ rights just in the couple of months we've experienced in 2023. You wanna exercise bodily autonomy? Screw that. State challenges to abortion, outright bans like the 6-week ban that they're considering in Florida. A little bit of imperializing necessary on that topic. You wanna read a book written by like a person of color? No, we're banning all those, can't do it. You wanna learn accurate history about what happened to this country? Sorry, I gotta get a little bit of imperialism in your education there. So again, like the idea that you're interested in that. In Texas, they're passing bans on counties banning new gas hookups and all that. Sorry, I gotta imperialize on what sort of energy you can have in your new construction. Again, like, It's so fake. Also the lies about the, you know, the prior Christianity of America. Like most of the founders were deists. The idea that they were evangelicals or something is ridiculous. They had very different religious views than you seem to think. And just openly saying that like now we have new metaphysics. So obviously the country's worse off. They despise anyone who doesn't believe that they do that the way that they do. We're gonna get to one worse part of this, but first, JR, what do you think?
Yeah, no, real fast. I don't have much time, but this is one of those things you have to keep saying the lie over and over and over again. We don't imperialize. We're not going this route. We don't actually deify anyone. It's all that they do. We don't demonize. Why are you talking about politics? Why are you always bringing up race? It's always you guys, because that's the divisive tactics that you use. Again, going back to the same thing, because your policies suck. And that's why we're seeing when we actually talk about policies and principles, you lose. So you have to distract people with all this other madness, like these lies. In order to continue those lies, you have to keep telling people that those lies are true.
100%. Now let's get to the even more fun part with this.
Absolutely. I was thinking about the word democracy and how it comes from demos, which means the people.
Yes,
and it's basically,
I hate the word democracy.
Yeah, it allows the mob to make decisions for the whole.
I'm not a fan of democracy.
It's pretty brute.
So they're just being clear, by the way, as so many of them are on the right now. democracy is bad. Why did it all of a sudden become bad? Does it have something to do with your inability to win national elections? Does it have something to do with the fact that every one of your positions is despised, reviled by the American people? I wonder if that has something to do with it. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you to everybody tuning in, especially those of you on the podcast. I don't know if everybody's seen our like last week and a half episodes have been like tearing up the government charts on Apple Podcasts. So thank you, everybody. If you're rating and reviewing the podcast, it really helps. It helps us move up those charts. It's very important. So thank you to all of you. There's more to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.